I welcome you all here in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and I ask that you would give your attention to our brother and elder, Adam Yates.
Thank you, Aaron. Good evening. Oh, geez. I'm going to try it again just because you guys know. How many years have I been doing this? Good evening. It's been a lot of years. Okay. Well, welcome to all of you. All of you who are live streaming, welcome. And I am happy to be here. This is my one day off this past week. I am mostly done with my medic school. I passed my final last Monday, and now I've got a short couple weeks of going to class one day a week to get ready for the national certification, and then I'm all done. But my hope that life would be a little more, have a little more time, hasn't happened yet. I'm hoping that it will. So full disclosure, I told Rebecca this morning, so we were talking about today, and I asked who was preaching this morning. She said, Aaron. And I said, I said something about who's preaching tonight or who's preaching today, and I said, I hope it's not me. And she goes, oh no, it's Aaron. And then she looks, she goes, oh, you're preaching this evening. And in my mind, it's still July. So I realized we had a sacrament service last week, but in my mind, it was still July. I knew I had to preach this month. I knew I had it coming up, an evening one, but in my mind, I still had like a couple weeks. So, and I had a couple of thoughts that I've been thinking about and a couple of lessons that I've been working on, but none of them were ready for me to put together today. I just didn't feel inclined to just throw something together without some thought on it. So I started looking through my computer and through all my notes, and I've got a bunch of different studies and lessons and things that I have put together. Some of them unfinished, some of them finished, and just waiting for an opportunity and to use. And so I looked at this particular one and passed it up, and then was thinking about it and praying about it today. I thought, I'm going to go ahead and give this lesson. And I looked at the date when I put this together, and I think it was in 2020, and I looked back to make sure I didn't preach a sermon about it, and I didn't see that. So if this does happen to be some sort of a repeat, some portion of it, you're going to just enjoy it again, I hope. But and so I'll tell you, my topic this evening, I want to talk about spiritual maturity, and I want to talk about five things. One of them is kind of a last thought. But five things that I want to encourage you guys on in this concept of spiritual maturity. One of these things that I've been thinking about is, I spent the last 2 days in a class for my department. I'm starting up revamping and redoing a peer support group. And a peer support group, that's something that in public safety is kind of a new concept. When I started as a police officer in 2005, there was still the mentality in the department I was a part of was very much, you know, you suck it up, you don't show weakness, you don't struggle with anything, you see a little kid murdered, you see whatever this is, you just deal with it. You don't show weakness, and it should not bother you. And all around my organization, I saw the results of that. That there were officers that I worked with who were just emotionally and mentally destroyed. And over the years, things have gotten much better. And I went through a class the last 2 days to just set up my organization's peer support again. And so I went through it. There were so many things in talking about how to deal with people who are struggling that I'm like, man, this is a sermon in and of itself. It's really, though they would not say it, it is God-based. But as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, so what is it that I need to be looking for And when I'm putting together this support group for my organization, for people who are having a difficult time, and one of those things is I was listing out these qualities that the group who is going to be a part of it, you know, that I really want to encourage them to. And one of these things I really have on there is maturity. You've got to have maturity. And you look at the definition of maturity, and it means to ripen, to hasten to a perfect state, to advance towards perfection, get perfected by time or natural growth as a man of mature age. This is from Webster's 1828. It says, ripen, perfected by time or natural growth as a man of mature age. We apply it to a young man of mature age. We apply it to a young man who has arrived to the age when he is supposed to be competent to manage his own concerns, to a young woman who is fit to be married, and to the elderly who have much experience. And, of course, that was published in 1828. And so, you know, when they thought a young man would be ready and would be mature and ready to manage his own concerns and all that, was probably quite a bit younger than we would consider today. But I've, you know, over the years, you guys have heard me talk about this over and over again, this spiritual maturity. And so I want to talk about a couple different things that I feel is important as we look at what a spiritually mature Christian, what are a couple, like a five attributes that they should have. And a handful of these things, I was listening several years ago to a podcast, and I don't remember who it was by, but it was talking about maturing. It was talking about calling young men up to be responsible and to be able to handle their lives and all of this. And there's a handful of things that I took out of that. And so this very first thing I want to talk about, this measure that I feel like is important of spiritual maturity and something that we need to be constantly looking at ourselves. It says the first one I have is taking control. And so what I took from this podcast was this statement here, and then I built on it. Cultivate your ability and your willingness to make your own decisions. Expand your ability to influence how your life unfolds. Before I go any further, this is something that I feel like is so important that we all remember, is that you have control over your decisions. You have control over where you go. You have control over what you think. I've said this many times. I probably shared this before here, but you know, for those of us in this room who are or have been police officers, how many times have we gone to a scene where some guy has beaten the tar out of his wife, and he says, "Well, I couldn't help it because she said this." We've arrested lots and lots of people for that very thing. Every police officer here shaking their head. And one of these things that I'm amazed by is that there's a whole lot of society who says, "Well, I guess that makes sense," as if there's a magic word that justifies beating someone to pieces. We have the ability to make our own decisions. This is something Aaron touched on it this morning. I actually have a study I'm going to do totally different on free will. The fact that we have the ability given to us by God to choose our path. And as Aaron was talking about this morning, you know, it's Kronk from The Emperor's New Groove, and there's two angels on his shoulder. One's a good one and one's a bad one, and they're both telling, "Hey, go this way, go that way." But ultimately, it was his decision. And this is our life. You have the ability to influence how your life unfolds. The only way to achieve maturity is to take charge of your life. That is the only way. Our children, we raise them up with the hope that they get to that point where they are making decisions on their own, good decisions, but they are taking charge of their life. I want to be this. I want to go here. I want this to be my career. I want that. You know, the only way to be mature, fully ripe, is to take charge of your life. Nothing empowers you as much as exercising that control. Refusing to act or waiting to be rescued or seeing yourself as a victim are certain and sure signs of immaturity. We live in this society. There is a victim mentality. And several years ago, I preached a sermon about that in Missouri. I felt very strongly about is that, you know, Christ doesn't call us to be victims. He calls us to be victorious. A victim has no control. A victim is someone who the very definition of the word means they have no control over what it is that happens. And yet Christ gives us to be victorious. Victorious over sin, victorious over frustrations, that we can enable and enact His Word and His Spirit to lead us to overcome all of these things. So I want to go to 2 Nephi in the 7th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 40 through 41. And it makes this statement here, "Therefore, cheer up your hearts, and remember that you are free to act for yourself, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil and the flesh." So he makes this statement to remember that you have the ability to take control of your life. You can choose what you do. You can choose where you go. I realize that there are these times in our life where we are struggling greatly. There's things that are going on that feel overwhelming. You know, one of these things that we talk about in this counseling with people, and of course, you know, I've been doing this for a long time as a minister, and I've had this opportunity somewhat in my time as a police officer, but definitely now in my department as a firefighter, to counsel with people who are just, they're in this crisis and they feel like they have no control over their life. You know, one of the things that we talk to them about is, I want you to pick one thing that you can do. One thing. Today, can you get out of bed? You have control over that. Today, can you drive yourself to the gym? You don't even have to go in. Can you drive yourself to the gym? You feel like everything is overwhelming, but can you take control of one thing? And then we build upon that. And, you know, one of these things that I think is very important is that we remember that we have the ability, no matter what our circumstances are, to make decisions, to act for ourselves. And especially when life is opposing you, when things are very difficult, when your expectations in life have not been met, oh, it's incredibly difficult. But we always have control. We always have freedom. And I've made this statement many years, and I believe it. Even a prisoner has freedom. Even a prisoner has freedom. Our mind, our heart, our will is able to choose to seek after God, to seek after anger, frustration, all of those things. So spiritual maturity, take control. Be in control of your life. I want to read in 2 Nephi chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 99, and then I'm going to go down to 118. And it says, I think Aaron read some of this today. Verse 99 says, "Wherefore the Lord God gave to man that he should act for himself." That we get that we have the right, the freedom, the blessing to act on our own behalf. And then we go down to verse 118, and it kind of continues on this, and obviously there's a lot in between, but these are verses that are talking about the same concept, that men are free to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Until that day that we lay down this life, we have the freedom to make choices. And so a spiritually mature person will continually, every day, take control of their life, about their decisions, about where they want to go, what they want to do. Take control over and begin the battle within your mind about things that you say and places that you allow yourself to go. And this is an everyday thing. Every day, as a spiritually mature Christian, we have to be willing to make those decisions and to not allow life to just happen, but to be conscious, to be making decisions, to be thinking ahead, to be making a choice. And every day, you know, there's the scripture, I think I have it in here somewhere else, and so, but, you know, Christ makes this statement. He says, take up your cross daily, every day. Every day, take control of your life, what you're going to do and who you're going to follow. In the man class that I teach, that Aaron and I teach, one of the pillars of manhood that we talk about is responsibility, that a man of God accepts and desires responsibility. And that's not just an attribute of men, that is an attribute of a mature Christian, that you take responsibility for what it is that you do, for obligations that you make, take responsibility for those things that are given to you. One of these things that I've thought about quite a bit is you know, to what, how do you view your job? Do you take responsibility for your job that the Lord puts you there with an intention that you would add value to that place? I was talking to one of the guys on my truck the other day. We were talking about my department. We're still in my department. We're in a growth phase, and we're still trying to figure out organizationally who we are. We're trying to figure out what our traditions are and what we value and what our culture is. And, you know, one of these things that I told him is I said, you know, I don't have a lot of passion for some of the things that I've been given responsibility over in my department. I'm not really passionate about mental health. I've had friends who have killed themselves, though, and so I don't want to see that happen to people that I love. I don't have a lot of passion for some of these things. It's not what I get up every day and say, I want to go and help people who are in crisis, but it's something the Lord has given me an opportunity to do. But, you know, one of these things I told him, I said, I was raised to believe this, that wherever I am, my job is to try to make it better. Try to make it better. That is Christ's expectation of me as well. And so a mature Christian takes responsibility for where you are at in life, for your mistakes, for your failures, for the positions you're given, for the job that you're given. And so I want to read here in 2 Samuel in chapter 12. And this is the story of David after David committed adultery. Well, he committed adultery. Of course, he was married, but I think he probably committed rape. And then he committed murder, and he lied and did all of these things, these compounding sins. And finally, it was laid upon his doorstep, and the prophet came to him and told him about all of these things. And it was in David's power at that point to decide what he was going to do. David was still the king. If he chose, he could have asked for that man to be killed, Nathan the prophet, to be drug out and do all, you know, he didn't have to accept it. But, you know, he shows this maturity. And it says, David said unto Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. And I've talked about this many times, that I'm certain that that's probably just a synopsis of what happened. Probably wasn't the fullness of that conversation, and it may not have even happened in a day. It may not have happened in an hour. It might not have been that Nathan came to him and presented these things and that David thought about it and said, you know what, yes, I have. Maybe it took a day. Maybe it took a week. Whatever it was, there was a process that David had to go through in accepting responsibility. The acceptance of that responsibility by the law of God that they were under was death. And David said, I've sinned against God. This mature thing, owning up and accepting the responsibility for decisions that you make. You know, this is something that's essential. And I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 26. And I'm going to read verses 12 through 13. And it says, then spake Jeremiah to the princes and to all the people, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced upon you. And so he makes this statement that you have walked contrary to God, fix it, and now walk rightly after him. Take responsibility. And so a mature Christian takes responsibility for your actions, your failures, your difficulties. I want to look now in Ecclesiastes, in the fifth chapter. And I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. It's better that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. So he makes a statement. He says, if you make this commitment to God, if you say you're going to do something, make sure that you follow through. He's not interested in someone who just makes statements. A fool just says whatever comes to his mind. So one of these aspects of a mature Christian is this taking responsibility for those things that you have committed yourself to. I want to go to Mosiah chapter 3. And I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read 1 through 6. Now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had thus spoken to his people, if you remember back before this, he was knowing he was going to die, and he called, and he gave this message to the people and called them to God and called them to change and called them to consider their life and all these things. And so now after he says all this, and the people are now going to respond. So after he had spoken these things to his people, he sent among them desiring to know of his people if they believed the words that he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, yea, we believe the words which thou hast spoken to us. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord Omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. And this is the faith which we have had on the things which our King hath spoken to us, and hath brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy, and we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God, and do His will, and be obedient to His commandments, and all the things that He shall command us, all the remainder of our days, that we might not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as had been spoken of by the angel, that we might not drink of the cup of the wrath of God. I'm sure that's not a word-for-word statement of every single person who was there, but they wrote down this thought that the people said, that they said, we are willing to follow after God, and we are willing to be accountable to God for this. And that it will form the actions that we take every day, and it will lead us all the way through our life. And this is a statement of responsibility that we ask people to make when they commit themselves to Christ through baptism. That baptism is this promise that you are going to love Jesus Christ for all of your life. And that love for Christ is going to compel you to live differently, and to think differently, and to seek Him differently, and to look to maintain that relationship, that you own it. And so I have a couple other scriptures here I'm not going to go to, but you know, in Moroni, in the prayer that we pray over the bread and over the wine, it makes this statement that we remember that we made a promise. We remember that we made a promise, and that promise should compel us to do something. A mature Christian acts and moves and takes responsibility. It's a very important thing about spiritual maturity. This next bullet point I have here is that a mature Christian, spiritually mature, controls their emotions. So this is the statement that says, I often tell others that maturity can be measured by how much anxiety they can tolerate without acting out inappropriately against themselves or others. Mature people express their emotions in the right place, at the right time, in the right way. We are emotional beings. We should never let go of the steering wheel. We need to learn how and when to contain our emotions. This is something that is incredibly important that we consider, that a mature Christian has considering in their mind how they speak and how they act and the effect that it'll have on others. All of us have found ourselves interacting with people who have allowed their emotions to overtake them, and they lose control. I was talking to one of the guys in my organization who actually worked for Glendale Fire Department before he came to us. And he was talking about a call that he had gone on that troubled him. He was in this class with me. And it was a double homicide suicide. And you know, it happened because someone was angry and had road rage. And followed this vehicle home and killed this man and his son and then killed himself. You know, these emotions that can overwhelm us. It's like that first statement I made about, you know, there's no magic word that causes you to throw off, to go off the deep end. There's nothing that somebody can do that forces you, that makes you do that. In my life, I have had to work very hard to control my anger. By nature, I'm a very angry person. It has been difficult for me over my life. And it's something that I always have to be cautious of. I am, obviously, you all know me, I'm a person who is not short on opinions. And I think my opinions are right, or I wouldn't have them. And I have been known throughout my life to let my passion over things, or the way I see things to be, to allow my emotions to get control of me rather than keeping them in check. And you know, this is something that a mature Christian does. For all of your life, you're going to have relationships. You're going to have relationships with those around you. Your relationships are always going to be taxed. Taxed by situations, taxed by decisions, taxed by things that people choose to do that frustrate you, that hurt you, or things that you do to others. And the question is, and the mark of a mature Christian, is I like this statement, maturity can be measured by how much anxiety you can tolerate without acting out inappropriately against themselves or others. And express your emotions in the right place, at the right time, in the right way. You know, this really comes down to how we handle each other, especially when we upset or we hurt each other. Is that, you know, when somebody hurts me, and that emotion, that betrayal, that pain, whatever it is that comes up, you know, it's appropriate for me to express that to that person. But how I do it, and when, and what my purpose is really a mark of mature Christian. Am I sharing my feelings, my frustrations, my hurt because I want to repair that relationship? I want you to see what you've done, and because you care about me, can we do it differently? Or is it that I express my emotions because I want to hurt that person back? And we find ourselves, and all of you have probably been in that position yourself, or have worked with other people, talked with other people, known other people, who when they get hurt, their instinct is to hurt somebody back, throwing daggers back and forth at each other and trying to hurt one another. Well, that is the mark, really, of someone who is not mature. And yet Christ calls us, and a mature Christian calls us to be in control. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want to read verse 13. And it says this, "There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And he makes a statement, says, there's nothing that you are going to encounter in life that is unique to you. Nothing that you are going to encounter that is going to be unique to you. Others will have endured it. Christ himself will have endured it. I'm certain that throughout his time on earth, Christ had to learn how to control his emotions. I bet this might offend some people, but I bet when he was a child, he threw fits as children do, and had to learn how to control those things. I know there are some people who don't like to think something like that. I remember once there was this conversation that was had about when Christ was a teenager, he probably had acne, and someone was very upset about that. You're saying that's an imperfection. He was perfect. Well, I think he was human, and he had to learn how to control. And this is something that is important, is that I want us to remember that the feelings, the emotions that come up in you as frustrations happen, as people hurt you, as your desires go unmet, as things go on in life, I want you to remember that there is always a way that the Lord gives us to temper what we say, to be cautious in how we act, and to be able to step back and to think, you know, this has been the biggest thing that I've had to learn to do in my life, is I have to learn to shut up. I'm frustrated with myself because so often before I even can formulate a thought, something comes out of my mouth. I express emotion or whatever it is, and I've tried so hard in my life that the first thing, and I've asked the Lord to help me, you know, and to be cautious about what I say, that the first thing that I do is say nothing. That I think about what I'm going to say, that I consider where I let my heart and my mind lead my voice and my mouth and all of that, you know. We're all going to be tempted, but it's important that a spiritually mature person controls their emotions. I want to go here to 3 Nephi, and I'm going to read the words of Christ here in chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 71 and 72. And says, "Therefore, if you shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you." The way that we allow our relationships, the way that we allow anger and frustration to dwell within us, the way we allow our human emotions to cause us to deal with situations can interrupt and can get in the way with our relationship with Christ. And so it is important that we remember this, that a mature Christian is working to have control over their emotions, that they express them in the right place at the right time for the right purpose in the right way, that they don't allow themselves because of something that frustrates or angers them to lash out, to be out of control. Something that is incredibly important. I'm going to move on here. Almost finished. Spiritual maturity is having perspective. So this is something from this podcast I was listening to. It made this statement. An immature teenager will regard a pimple as a catastrophic eruption of Mount Vesuvius, or will regard rejection by a girlfriend or boyfriend as the end of the world. Maturity comes from putting disappointments in perspective. The reason we forgive a teenager's overreaction is because we understand it's probably the first time it's happened. But life's disappointments don't stop when you turn 21. Disappointments of every variety, great and small, happen throughout life. The mature person learns from them and gets stronger each time he recovers. And I've added to this, this is one reason why we should allow our children to fail. We should allow failure. We should allow struggle. We don't help anybody when we do everything for them. I hope this doesn't embarrass him, and if it does, forgive me, John, but you know, when John first had his surgery and had his leg amputated and he was trying to get up, I went to help him with something and he got after me. And he was pretty stern. If you don't let me do it, I will never be able to do it. You know, this is something that is important for us to remember. It's important that we struggle. It's important that we work through things. It's important that for our children, we don't make life easy. I'm not saying that we make them sleep outside and build a fire to cook their food or anything on a regular basis, but we should let them struggle. Because as we know, that the experiences we have in life when the Lord... When we come through and we see the Lord helping us and working with us and moving us through, it sets us up for the next one. Life's disappointments continue. And so every time it happens, you learn from it and you grow stronger. And we see this in the book of James in the first chapter. You probably already thought about this. He makes this statement in the second verse. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." This is probably... Maybe the pinnacle of spiritual maturity is being okay with trouble. Being okay with it. I've said this 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. The experiences, the situations that I endured, the difficulties I did, I would not trade them for anything. I recognize that right now life is easy for me. Life is good. It will not always be this way. But when trouble comes again, I can draw back on these things that I went through. And you know, if someone would have come to rescue me, someone would have come and paid off my house and gave me $1 million or so, I would not be able to endure whatever this next struggle is. This perspective of being able to look back and realize that, you know, life happens, God is there, He helps us, He doesn't take away everything. I had to struggle. I had to go through difficulty, but the Lord was with me. And it was a tremendous maturing point in my life. I want to look at Matthew chapter 5. And I'll go 44 and 45. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Before I go on to verse 45, I'm going to say that, you know, this is one of these things that Christ is making this statement is he's talking about this aspect of maturity that we talked about in this last one, how you control your emotions and your control over what it is that you do. But also it's that you have this perspective that once you were an enemy, once you were a cursing, once you were filled with hate, once you went to take advantage of people and situations. You know, he's making this statement. He says he wants you to remember where you came from, and he wants you to remember the mature attitude towards those who are in opposition to God and even to you. And so he says all these things, and he says, "You do these things that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." So he makes a statement. He says, life is going to happen for every single one. And if every time life does not meet your expectations, you are so crushed, you are angry, you question God, there's no way forward. One of these questions that as ministry we get all the time, and I answered this question the other day for someone, is this question of why do bad things happen? Bad things. Why does God allow bad things to happen? If God is good, if God is all-powerful, why does he allow bad things to happen? And you know, the simple answer is that life happens to everybody. God allows life to happen to everybody. But this last point I have here is about having perspective. And I want you to remember this, especially when you find yourself in times of difficulty, of trial, when you have some sort of sickness, something going on, life seems to be too much. And we tend as humans, the easiest thing to do is focus on negative. We love negative things. It's the easiest thing to see. It's far harder to look at something that is good or to seek out something that is good and acknowledge something that's good than something that is bad. But you know, I've probably made this analogy before, but I just want to remember, you know, I want you to remember this, is that, you know, if you lived your entire life on an island, you were living on an island and this island was the only place you lived, and the only food that you had on this island, the only thing that grew there was a lemon. Lemons are all that you had. That was it. And all you've ever eaten was lemons. If you saw, all of a sudden on this island, a newspaper floats up, and you see a Thanksgiving dinner laid out, in your mind, what would that turkey taste like? It tastes like a lemon. How about the mashed potatoes? All those things, it tastes like a lemon. Everything is a lemon. And until you taste something that is savory, like mashed potatoes, then there's a difference in a flavor. Or something that is sweet, like pumpkin pie, there's a difference in a flavor. The only reason that we can recognize what something is because we've recognized we've seen the opposite of it. One of the things that I have stopped people to have stopped them in their tracks to make them think is they say, "Why does God allow so many bad things to happen?" I say, "Why does God allow so many good things to happen?" If there's bad, the only reason we know it's bad is because we know what the opposite is. It's important that we have this perspective in life. A spiritually mature Christian will have this perspective. I'm going to have trouble, and I'm going to have good. And the trouble will not destroy me, and the good will not be the only thing I expect. This is this is life, and it's perspective. And a Christian, a mature Christian, consider these things. This last thing I want to talk about is that a mature Christian... Let me see if I even want to hang on. I thought I had a different scripture in here. Is a mature Christian is looking to understand, is looking to understand God the Father and Jesus Christ his Son and the words of Christ to understand what it is that he desires for you. And to look deeply. You know, there is a purpose for pain. I was listening to another podcast the other day because I have a long drive all the time. And so I listen to podcasts. And you know, this man was talking, and there was so much about it. I was taking notes on stuff as I was driving. He says, you know, there is a purpose to pain. Pain is important. Pain is essential. It teaches us, and it helps us to understand things we should do and things that we shouldn't do and how we like to be treated and we don't want to be treated and all of those things. And his point was is that we look to understand these things that happen in life, how they are there to help us grow and help us to form, to be something that is different than what we are naturally. And so this last thing that I want to talk about here just very quickly is that a mature Christian is looking to deeply understand Christ, to understand His Word, to understand the directions and the things that He has for us. You know, this morning in the sermon, Aaron read the scripture out of Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, and the Lord says, you know, I know that I have these thoughts for you. I have these thoughts for you. And it's thoughts of good and not of evil, because I want you to have an expected end. But He never said, I have these thoughts of an easy path for you. So I have these thoughts. I will take you there. I will get you there. You know, if we look at this story in the Book of Mormon about this vision that Lehi had about this rod of iron, and it's this example of toiling through struggle to get to and partake of the love of Christ. You know, there was a way to get them there, but it was not easy. But the way was there. All they had to do was grab a hold. All they had to do was hold on to the Word of God. And I think this is very important as you endeavor to grow in your spiritual maturity, that you look and you understand that, you know, the Lord is playing a long game with you. His job, His role, His promise is not to make things easy for you, but to get you to that expected end. And this requires a tremendous amount of maturity. My children, as they're growing, are seeing this more and more, but you know, my youngest son probably doesn't understand this concept yet. That the Lord's path and His plan, it goes through troubles and difficulties. It's necessary. We don't appreciate anything that we don't work for. We don't. You'll never see that more than in a fire station. Logan's starting to see that probably. Nobody will mistreat things more than firefighters. Why? Because we don't pay for it. It means nothing to us. I'm amazed at the waste of things that I see all the time. I'm like, man, I wouldn't do that at my house. Our deep understanding of the Lord should be that He's working with us for a long game. He desires to take us there. But there's never been a promise that things are going to be simple or easy. And so there's this aspect of understanding, of seeking to understand the Lord deeply, that a Christian, a mature Christian does. I'm going to look real quick before I call it out, because I don't know if I'm going to read this last scripture I have here or not. Let me see, because I don't have it typed out. Yeah, I'm just going to bypass that. You know, this particular scripture essentially is talking about just realizing your place, that you once were. You know, our whole life should be about changing and becoming different. This is part of this understanding of Christ. You know, I'm not the same person that I was before. And I hope that the day that I die, I'm not going to be the same person then that I am right now, but that I continue to grow and change and come closer to God, to understand Him more and to understand how I can overcome my humanity. And so I think I'll probably come to a close right there. I got a couple more things at the bottom here I don't think I'm going to even touch on. But I hope I just gave you, you know, I touched five things tonight that I think are incredibly important. This is important for every single one of us about this concept of growing, of coming, of you know, that word maturity. You know, the very first definition of it is to advance towards perfection, to be working towards perfection. And this is our call. You know, Christ wants us to be perfect. And He's be moving forward every day. Be moving forward. Be pushing yourself forward. And so I'm just going to real quick just remind you, you know, that those five things is that a mature Christian takes control of their life and of their decisions. You exercise your free will. Nothing is forced upon you. You have a choice. And accept that. And let that control that you have over your life, over the decisions you make, over where you go tomorrow, over conversations you have and all that, let the Lord lead you in how you take control of your life. That mature Christian takes responsibility for where you've made mistakes, for promises that you have made, for positions that you're in. I want to remind you, those of you who are employed right now, that your job is to add value. You know, that is one of these things that a mature Christian should understand. No matter where you're at, if you're flipping burgers, you can do it in a way that glorifies God. You can do it in a way that glorifies God. You know, if you're throwing bales of hay down at Western Ranchman, you can do it in a way that glorifies God, to add value. This is part of your responsibility as a mature Christian. Mature Christians control their emotions. We're going to have troubles in our life. We're going to have difficulties in our relationship. But mature Christian considers what you do with your emotions, where they take you, how you express them at the right time. Consider what you say and what you do. That everybody has to handle these things and that we're cautious with that. Having perspective that every single thing that happens to you right now that doesn't meet your expectations, that it is not the end of the world. A mature Christian knows that the sun's going to come up. Some days it's going to rain. Some days it's going to be blazing hot. Some days life is going to go well. I hope tomorrow at work everything goes wonderfully, but it may not. The day after that, it might go well. This is part of life. But when something doesn't meet my expectations, when I have disappointments throughout my life, spiritual maturity, this experience with God that helps me to see things, to say that no matter what the circumstance, in times of joy, Christ is there. In times of sorrow, Christ is there. In times of trial, Christ is there. This is a mature perspective that we have to remind ourselves of. Consider, say it, acknowledge it. And then mature Christian seeks to have that deep understanding of the way that the Lord works and moves in his life or her life, the desires that he has, remembering that God is looking at it. He's got a long game, taking you there. And the promise has never been easy. The promise has been that he'll be your companion, he'll be your guide, and he'll be with you. So I hope I've given you a couple things to think about tonight. Thank you guys for your time and for your attention.